Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yep, Capper of the Week, Jets and Niners. Good week one in the National Football League, especially if you like defense. If you like smooth quarterback play, not so much. If you wanted a Raiders win, well, that sucked. We'll get back to that a little later on. RJ Clifford from the Autumn Windbags will join us to prime us for fight week as well. We just talked to Steve Kim, getting his opinion of the Canelo fight. We also have a UFC fight right up the road from where we are, Ellis Island, the front yard. They've got all-you-can-drink beer during the game tonight, special on that. Oh, you can eat food, another special on that one. I grabbed a McEllis because they serve breakfast here too.
Yeah, look good.
They do everything well here. By the way, you can go check them out on IG at Ellis Casino LV or the Front Yard LV. My sources tell me that they go through so much bacon here that they have their own specialty bacon provider. Like, they had a whole had a whole tryout. Like, they have a pork plant.
Like, directly to the source.
Yes.
Wow. That's like when Gus Fring had his own, you know, laundry facility, so he could do his own meth lab down there and didn't have to go through any third parties or anything like that.
Exact thing. Sure. Same thing. Take out the middleman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thick-cut bacon and then McEllis, and then who knows what we get later. Who knows? Bacon, mac, and cheese, maybe?
Yeah, man. Anything sounds good. I just ordered a big pretzel.
It's big. Get ready.
We'll see.
Get ready. By the way, football season is not an easy season to lose weight.
Impossible.
I'm finding that out. Yeah. It is the worst.
Especially if you go to work.
Well, I was doing a decent job of trying to kind of not really eat on that intermittent thing because I don't like to say it. I think that sounds stupid. But just try to eat in a window and it's all been blown to bits.
I lost 4 pounds over the weekend somehow. But I also
slept. Weighing yourself like every 3 days?
Yeah, I weigh myself every day.
Do you really?
Yeah. Because if I gain a pound, I get really mad and, like, throw things and cut
myself.
So
you lost weight, but you came in looking kind of melancholy at the beginning of the show. I was
concerned. That was for other reasons.
Okay. There's always something going on, Griffin. There's always some drama.
No, it's nothing bad. I was just like, oh, man, no remotes this week, and then I came in.
Okay. Tell me everything's going okay with the living arrangements.
Yeah, actually, that's been great.
By the way, your branding as the guy who lives in the hotel is really taking off with people listening to the show. They're like, oh, yeah, what's his name? Greg?
Guy lives in hotels.
Yeah. Yeah, lives in a hotel.
I'm still going to go stay in one every once in a while just for the hell of it.
Just to keep it fresh.
You loved it.
Yeah. You loved it. All right, big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Griffin scared me there. I said big four time. I looked down. I'm like, wait, is it four? Did I have the wrong time? Griffin's like, yeah, it's not 4 o'clock, moron. No, it is. I got it. I still got it. A little bit. Griffin with a hell of a job of prepping the show today. He cleared out the freaking all the choices in the Big Four.
He knows what he's doing.
Bears. Wasn't pretty.
No.
Caleb Williams. Not great. We'll get to that. But you forget about one of the other cool stories about the Bears and Hard Knocks and Simone Biles. Her husband, Jonathan Owens, had a big day, and she was all fired up. It's good to have a support system.
Yeah.
They revel in your success. So she tweeted out, on a scoop and score, I almost had a heart attack. Probably not accurate. She's very fit. If you had tweeted that out, it'd be like, oh, my God, are they okay?
She's very little, though. I don't know if you're more prone to heart attacks that way. But.
You know what's funny about that? Not the heart attack part, but what's funny about that is I watched – I don't know where I see these videos. It's probably TikTok. Simone Biles met the Indiana Fever, and then she was telling her husband, Jonathan Owens, that Caitlin Clark wasn't that tall. I'm like, you're 4'9".
I guess if you're that – well, you know what it is? She's used to taking pictures with such tall people because they always want that contrast. Like, hey, stand next to Shaq. Or, you know, here's Wemby. Meet Wemby.
Right.
So when she finally meets somebody who's not 8'6", they probably, you know, don't look nearly as tall.
She actually – the end of that statement was she wasn't that tall compared to her teammates. Like, she might be the shortest person on the Fever.
Well, she isn't very big, Caitlin. I mean, for a WNBA player. Now, Simone Biles is literally a little person, so –
So what is it like, and she's very highly accomplished, Simone Biles, say she's 4 foot, I'm gonna give her a little more height. Say she's 4'10".
Yeah.
And you're always the person who's like, look at this freakish potential picture. Let's go. Where's Boban? Right?
Yeah,
let's
bring over. Right.
What if they just constantly, with you and I, like every time there's someone who's really thin, they're like, you got to go take a picture. Go take a picture with them, Greg.
That happens.
Look how skinny they are. Look at you.
That happens to me every time we have a guest and I have to take a picture. Except for the guy that slapped people to death. Every single other person is skinnier than
that. That was your favorite show, the Slap Fighters.
That
they
was
were both
fun.
Like 380.
Yeah. His brother was even the same size as he was.
Gigantic.
By the way.
But no, you had to say, like yeah. It just happens that we dwarf other people.
Yeah.
I took a picture with a nephew of mine who I hadn't seen in forever, and he's a little guy. He's like 5'4".
Right.
And I, like, all my feature, I look like I was like left tackle for Wisconsin. I'm not that big. I was like, I look 6'7", 340. What is going on here?
It depends on the picture, though. I take some pictures where I look normal, and I'm like, oh, that's good. And then you take a picture, and I look like the Goodyear blimp for some reason. I don't know what it is with your lenses.
I don't take good pictures. But you know what? I went to a good restaurant this weekend, and one of my friends took a great picture of food.
Yeah.
I've learned that I need to blur you out.
You mean like portrait mode?
I don't know. I need to blur you out. I need to blur it down to like there's maybe your eyes and your beard's great. Although you got to get it darkened. It's not looking as menacing as
I know.
The light in here is great.
It's starting to grow in a little bit. I have to get some more of that magic shaman oil from the islands.
Yes. Otherwise named
Just for Men. I didn't know what it was.
That was so ridiculous. About a month ago, you're like, oh, my friend hooked me up.
Yeah,
with this special
my day.
Oil, and then he's like. It was Just for Men.
Because you told me to ask her. You're like, hey, it looks good.
I was impressed.
Ask her, yeah. Ask her what it is. So I asked her. She's like, oh, yeah, it's Just for Men. I was like, yeah. She told me she got it from like some cave in Indonesia or something. I didn't even know.
Number three. All right, so Caleb Williams got the win. He wasn't great. Griffin, where'd you find this story? Because now I could tell in prep, you're starting to learn how to get us both going. Was there some Terry Bradshaw comment about Caleb Williams and his painted nails?
He started to go off a little bit during the Fox broadcast. He was saying, what would have happened to me if I painted my nails back in 1970, you know, with the Steelers black and yellow? And honestly, I put this story in because it got me worked up. I wish I could say how I thought it was going to be the same for y'all, but this is it got me fired up.
Was it a moment of levity or like, were they all laughing or like,
I would have got my ass kicked if I did that back in my day?
No, Howie Long actually.
Tone matters.
Exactly. I think Howie Long actually cut him off, which I think brought even more attention to the moment of him talking about his nails, and it could have been a possible crazy little moment on the Fox broadcast. So I don't know. It didn't seem like the entire staff was on board with it.
I think it could have helped Terry because they could have put each one of his offensive plays on each one of his fingernails, and then he wouldn't have forgot anything.
Well, I mean, the headline on the story says that Terry Bradshaw lost it over Caleb Williams' painted nails and said that previously he had been irrational. He had expressed irrational concerns over Williams' fingernails.
I can't lie. As a Bears fan, I used to. I do.
I think I have the tone wrong here. I'm thinking this was a goofy Terry Bradshaw moment. But if it wasn't, and you know there are older football players out there who are like, painted fingernails.
But you know where they're going with it. They're not just going with painted fingernails.
The thing that drives me the most nuts about older athletes and older football players, why don't you guys talk about what you did on the night and the night before and the morning of games? Why don't you talk about how seriously you treated football, many of you,
right,
in the 70s and 80s?
Sure.
Because in this case, you have a kid who I think is pretty clean cut, is just there to work. He's got a different personality.
Yeah.
And you know what? If he played in her team in 1978, he'd probably be like, oh, my God, why is there all this cocaine and drinking, and how many women can you know what, in a night, fellas?
I don't even know
what happened to being a professional and playing football? So it's like, please, like, don't act like athletes because they've changed. This kid's different, right?
I don't know, though. He's different to us. But, like, I watch these Gen Z guys. That Noah Lyles guy has fingernails painted, too. I've seen other dudes with it. I saw Will Smith's kid wearing a skirt to school. I mean, I don't know. People are just different now.
I mean, would I do it? I'm honestly, I'm just too lazy and disorganized.
I wouldn't do it. Don't get me wrong.
My nails done every week. I'm a mess.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, it's like,
but I don't care.
It'd be like when we were kids, and they're like, oh, spiky hair, and you know, having your nose.
And
pierced.
That's the worst part. Is that
right?
We all grew up in an era, and whatever era you're in, where they're like, yeah, you kids.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That guy.
I mean, in Terry Bradshaw's day, the basketball players were wearing shorts where you could see their entire everything.
See?
You know. They don't
filthy.
Do that now.
Filthy.
That is filthy.
Filthy. And it was all to get took us between games. All right, number two. We are all rooting for the greatest comeback story in the history of the NFL to see a great chapter unfold tonight, right? Aaron Rodgers back from the Achilles. Let's go, Jets. Do it. J-E-T. Okay.
I would never, ever wish injury on anybody, but just saying.
Don't do it.
No, I'm not at all. I would never do that. I'm just saying this is a big deal. Like, if it happens again, it's going to be some seriously, I shouldn't say funny, but it's going to be something huge.
And I'll say it right now, if something does happen to him, Griffin, you absolutely have permission. That laugh track that we played, actually, the fake one with McAfee's crew laughing, and then that gorilla's, like, minute and 45-second loop of laughing, just play that for 3 minutes coming out at the beginning of the show tomorrow. Yeah, I will just sit there.
What if?
And just get more and more sad if something happens.
What if he doesn't get hurt?
Rodgers goes down.
But what if Rodgers is 100% healthy, but he just sucks?
I know.
After all this.
I know, you're right. That's a possibility.
You know?
Like, there's a point where guys go off the cliff.
Yeah,
Deshaun Watson, I feel like he's like 24 years old. He stinks now.
Oh, man, that guy's terrible. And he had another allegation come out today. I don't know if you saw that. Now he's in trouble again.
My guy, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
My guy, Aaron Rodgers. I don't pick good guys, do I? Number one.
Number one.
Okay, the biggest pick-me-up for the Raiders yesterday had to be, I've been trying to tell you all offseason, and this is absolutely going to be overreaction Monday by Cofield.
Yeah.
The fact that Sean Payton took Bo Nix, and it didn't seem like anyone else had much interest in him that high, and then our guy Colin Cowherd is over on Fox Sports National and Fox Sports Las Vegas, like, just one preseason game, laying it out there. I told you, you can tell when a guy has it. And I remember listening, I'm like, this has got to be a bit. He's not judging off of one preseason game, you know, against the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. It's his first game in the NFL. But did he throw 50 passes for, like, 53 yards?
It's something like that.
What is going on? It was 42 passes for, like, 133 yards?
Yeah, I think it averaged, like, 1 yard a pass or something. I don't think it was very good. It's funny because I almost bought into this last-minute thing everybody had where all of a sudden the Broncos were going to be a surprise team. I don't know where it came from, but it started, like, a week before the season. And I was really close to, like, maybe they won't be so bad. And now I think, yeah, they're going to be really bad. They suck.
I don't want to judge after 1 week. I just took particular satisfaction in that one because he wasn't good. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I talk about Colin a lot because I like the way he does the show. And he plants a flag, and he might kind of back off. And I'll tell you the one he won't back off of. Like, he's gotten some salvation here, one final chance. On the flip side, the overreaction in the positive way is Sam Darnold.
Oh,
he's been talking about Sam Darnold since he was at USC and then the Jets and the Panthers and the Niners. And today he came on, he's like, I mean, you give a guy the weapons, and you got a good coach who's a former quarterback and an offensive. I'm not doing a Colin, but
yeah, right.
It's like, Colin, like, do the victory lap right now. But
the one thing I'll give the Broncos is that the Seahawks, I mean, aren't a bad team. I thought going into last year they were kind of a chic pick, and I mean they're a solid team. So it's not like every week they're going to play somebody like the Seahawks, but man, they look bad.
Coming up, we'll get into more college football, more on Deion and UNLV over the weekend. Listen, Utah Tech is not a world beater, but they freaking took care of them. I was talking about breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah.
Halftime, I was like, I'm going to have a breakfast sandwich. I don't think I have to work that hard in the second half. I didn't. UNLV killed them.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Let's get to a little college football here in just a second. Want to remind you, next Tuesday we're on the road. Plaza, downtown, at 11th annual Bikini Tug of War, Greg.
Wow.
11 years we've been doing the Bikini Tug of War. It's totally on the up and up.
Nice.
Steve's here as the official. He's been paying his dues. I think it's $39 a year as an official Tug of War referee. The defending champs are Peppermint Hippo.
Yeah.
We'll give you the whole lineup as the week moves along. Bucket and Margarita specials next Tuesday at the Plaza. Sear is in. By the way, can we hold the set together? Greg's like, they just brought my giant pretzel.
Bring it up here.
I couldn't believe the size of that thing, man. I didn't know it was going to be like that. I mean, it's like the size of the entire plate.
Greg, check that. Griffin, cut off the part where he said the entire plate. That is a drop.
Copy.
I couldn't believe the size of that thing.
Creatively, that can be in the open. That's anyway, nice. Steve Surf Summer Tour at the Plaza at 3 o'clock Tuesday, the 17th. Can you wait 8 minutes to crack into the pretzel so I can get a picture? Or maybe Mateo will get a picture.
Yeah, I could do that.
Because I'm the king of half-eaten food pictures because I forget.
Yeah, I always scarf them down before I remember. Here, I'll do it right now.
It's probably too hot.
I can take a picture
probably
right now.
Probably too hot. Oh, wow. There you go. There's the are those pork belly bites on the seven bites?
Oh, man, that looks good.
Okay. But that burger is. Hello.
Oh, here comes the burger, too.
We've gone off the rails. You got a burger, too?
I got a burger coming.
I got a picture of all this stuff.
Thank you, sir.
So glorious.
I'm about to get another picture of this burger
here. 3 to 6. They've got 7 and 7 specials, not the drink, but $7 bites, which includes the burger, the pretzel. It's a giant pretzel. It's like a Frisbee. Impressive stuff. Real impressive stuff. So UNLV wins over the weekend, Greg. They win 72-14. And I'm telling you, when you watch the game, they really were – I mean, they were trying to execute, but it wasn't like they were throwing deep passes left and right. They ran the ball, but they just kept mashing it. And the cool thing was you had a lot of guys who don't get playing time, so veterans who they built the program around as leaders behind the scenes. And then they played a lot of freshmen. They had two freshman running backs go off. Greg Burrell from right here in Vegas, Desert Pines. He had 105 yards and a touchdown. He's a Mountain West Conference offensive player, offensive freshman of the week. And then another kid out of Sacramento, Devin Green, who I thought was pretty buried on the depth chart at running back, like 6th or 7th. He goes out there. He busts off a freaking big run. He had a good game. He had over 60 yards.
Crazy thing is they scored 72, and I don't even think that was their best game because – if you look around, like the guy, I was waiting for DeJesus to do something. He only had 50 total yards and no touchdowns. Imagine if he gets a game going. Well, what did they score, 100? I mean.
So Ricky White didn't get a lot
three,
of action.
He had three touchdowns.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of action last week. And I think they came out in the first quarter and they're like, we're getting Ricky involved.
Right.
So he's ridiculous. Just so good. He had three touchdowns. One was a 55-yarder where he caught it about 30 yards out from the end zone. And he just shook two guys and goes all the way. But then the best part is, they've been talking about special teams, and we saw it last year. They practiced special teams more than I've ever seen teams in practice.
Sure.
Work on special teams, and it paid off last year. They had the best place kicker in the country. Their punter jetted into the top 10 kickers, punters in the country from an average standpoint. DeJesus was All-American. So they've been talking about their punt coverage team, and they're like, Ricky White's going to block some punts this year. I'm like, punts? Like, one? He blocked a punt over the weekend against Utah Tech where he ran in. He got so deep on the punter, he blocked the ball by his right hip and, like, shoved the ball to the side.
It looked like he could almost catch it.
Actually, Odom joked about it. He's like, he could have taken it off his foot and run it in. But then the great thing is, the other thing with that guy, and I think they got my sense of humor because I did it really deadpan. I asked Ricky White today, I was like, were you happy when you blocked a punt? And I think they got what I was saying. Like, he's like, remember how Barry Sanders was?
Yeah.
Where Barry Sanders, like, he'd run in, you know, 70-yard run, he'd be like,
sure,
here you go, sir, right to the referee. Ricky White blocked the punt. He just turned around. He's like, high five, I'll go to the sideline. Like, I'm just supposed to do that. I'm like, what?
I like that kind of temperament, though.
They actually have it at a lot of positions. I actually noticed the kid I mentioned, Devin Green, one of their freshman running backs, scores on a long touchdown. I think it was his grandmother, because it said – UNLV player, aunt or grandmother, so it could have been an aunt, but I think it was his grandmother, like, screaming for him. And he turns around, he's like, all right. Like he was just like, I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah. Eh?
They're feeling good about themselves. They're not going overboard when they have success. I think they knew they were going to be able to handle Utah Tech. The way they did it was very efficient. And it gives them a lot of momentum going into one of the games of the year. If they are going to make the college football playoffs, they got to win most of their games, but it's also a revenge spot. They got kind of lit up at times in the bowl game last year by Kansas, and now they get to go on the road and take on Kansas. I'll say just outside of Kansas City because it's out by the airport there. It's pretty far out, but it's a big road game against a Big 12 team.
It is, but I'll tell you, I knew they were going to beat Utah, or I thought they would, you know, but I didn't think it was going to be by 72-14. So if they're getting these kind of margins, and again – a lot of their players, they have so many different weapons they haven't really utilized yet. I don't know. I feel like this is they might even be better than the team we were excited about being good.
We'll see. This is a good test coming up. So they took care of Utah Tech. The line on this game is 7. I think that's pretty interesting against Kansas. Kansas is a 7-point favorite. Here's Odom talking about Friday games, his excitement, the prep.
I think, number one, for us, the exposure on ESPN, you know, national game, it would be great for our brand, great for our kids. You know, I traditionalist in me, I think Friday night should be reserved for high school football. And I was a high school coach. We were a high school recruiting program. So part of that, you know, you talk out of both sides of the mouth or of your mouth. I love the exposure for our team on Friday night. I also don't want to take away from high school football. So there's give and take.
He went on to talk about the bowl game last year, and I've said this, and I think this was Mike Romalo from the Las Vegas Sun. I think the Kansas game last year and the end of the season convinced them after a couple of low points defensively during the season. When they saw their guys getting beat deep a lot, I think they went to the offseason. They're like, we got to get bigger in the trenches, get more pressure, but we have to get bigger and longer on the back end so that we don't get beat over the top. Here he is talking about the influence of the bowl game and then working in the offseason to kind of retool the defense.
You know, defensively, if you can stop the run and then eliminate explosive plays, you got a chance of being a pretty good defense. And we understood last year we were not good throughout the course of the game in allowing or not giving up explosive plays. That's not all on the secondary. That's on the rush. That's on a number of things. So we knew we needed to get better on the back end, and that's one of the reasons, just like for this next year's recruiting class, you're trying to build to the foundation of your program and then address needs that can come in and help you right away. You know, every year is going to be a little bit different on what that recruiting class looks like for us this year.
Sounds pretty scientific about how you build a team, huh? Like you actually keep guys around, you layer the classes. Dion, any ideas coming from this? Last one I'm going to play for you. We'll get to Dion. It's exactly, outside of actually beating North Dakota State in the first game, it's pretty much exactly what I called about how this was going to go. Last one here is interesting because for the first time in college football, after all the sign stealing stuff with Michigan and other schools, the momentum built to do the earpieces and the helmets. So right. Now the quarterback can talk to coaches. One player on defense can do the same. Well, the first couple weeks, they've had issues with the earpiece going out. Like, we can't talk to each other. So Odom talked about that. And because my question was, like, wait, did you guys throw out all the signal stuff? Like, are you not doing signals anymore?
We do. We signal every play on both sides, regardless if we have communication or not. And I think that's wise for us because I don't want to just have to rely on one guy getting it across the board. So we're still intact on a number of different ways that we are communicating. Yes, coach to player signals, some signals that don't match up. The boards, you're on the board this week, so look for your face on the big board. It's good. It might be a touchdown. But I think it's important. You know, and I think everybody in college football, it's again, I think it's great for the game that we've enhanced the game in that communication piece. But you're always in technology. You're going to have some sort of glitch. So, you know, the worst case scenario, excuse me, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. The worst case scenario is that was a joke.
Oh, he's deadpan. So there's a couple things there. First,
when you have to explain it's a joke, usually you're dying. But
well, ahead. It was such an inside joke because there was a Reno fan who watched his press conference last week and called him Sleepy Barry. I had tweeted it out, and I was like, hey, the rivalry's back. Now Reno's worried about how energetic the coach of UNLV is.
Yeah.
And then I think he was making reference to someone saying he was sleepy. The other thing is, when he said you're on the board, he pointed to me and made a suggestion that my face will be on one of their playboards, which I think he's kidding about.
I hope so. I want to see this playboard then.
What kind of play is it?
It's you know, the wing, the old wing. We have like four guys to one side, and you kind of just run the old wing there.
Old school for Kofi.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the old play. It's the first play. It's Bart Starr's first play in the Super Bowl.
I think he's kidding. I don't think my face will be on their boards, but we'll see.
That'd be cool. I want to see it if it is.
So I started thinking about the communication going out, and I thought about how we do a radio show, and how if anything goes wrong, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, if you're on the field as a quarterback, and you're like, what's a play?
Yeah.
And then you got 17 guys doing signals, like, which is the real one, which is the fake one? He's like, yeah, we're still doing the signal.
Supposedly that happened in Foxborough a lot, where visiting teams would come in, and all of a sudden their equipment wouldn't work anymore.
Weird, huh?
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, supposedly. No, I watched the story of the Colts who were like, we were in our locker room. We would leave the locker room, try to find another area because we thought it was bugged.
Yeah.
And it probably was.
Of course.
Belichick to Harbaugh, it is a way of the highest level winners. They like to cheat.
Yes.
Live from Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Song supposed to be about dying in a lake or something? Somebody died in a lake?
I mean, well timed by Griffin. Nice job, buddy. Halfway point of the show. Monday Night Football kicking off in the 5 o'clock hour. By the way, we're on during Monday Night Football for the first like 40 minutes of the game. You can catch the game at the start on Raider Nation Radio 920. And then we'll pick it up here on ESPN Las Vegas. But we're going to be live giving away prizes all the way until 8 o'clock. We go until 6 on air. Salerno's here. It's Cofield. Greg is fully in the feast. He got the giant pretzel, which is $7 during happy hour. That's an $18 pretzel. Come on now. And the burger, which when I read about it, I was like, oh, it must be like a little slider type burger. Like, no, that's
a legit burger.
That's a full burger for $7 on their bites menu. So $7 bites from 3 to 6. Drinks as well. Certain drinks, $7. And then during the games, they've got the all-you-can-eat option, which it's not 5 items. You can see this card from a distance.
Oh,
there's like 25 things on here.
That's amazing.
Ooh, the bread pudding. All right. Very good. Very good. So I kind of mixed that up there, saying it's a halfway point of the show, and I meant to say early in the season as well. Again, I don't want to come in here and do freaking rant this, rant that, and it's over, I told you. I am going to say, though, I did tell you the direction that Deion and company would be going in this year.
Yes.
And I told everyone during the summer, and I told people after the season last year, and I'm glad Steve Kim picked up on it, because I will say I am the first and only person. Send me proof audio-wise of someone else saying this. And I said it a couple of weeks ago that I think that Colorado will get out to a bad start. I mean, this is a prediction I made a while ago. I said they'd be 2-7 out of the gates. And then they won last week, and everyone's like, oh, 2-7, huh? I'm like,
right.
Just wait. Yeah, they beat a team they were a freaking 9-point favorite against.
Honestly, the fact that it was that close should be embarrassing.
And my prediction was they're going to get off to a bad start, and Deion's just going to get annoyed with all of it because now he's kind of set up this whole adversarial thing. People are coming after him. And I think – I don't know what Travis Hunter's going to do, but I think his son and Deion will exit about 10 games into the season. I think that's very dangerous for his NFL career, at least in terms of being a high, first-round pick or a first-round pick at all. I don't think they're going to react well to this, and we kind of saw it yesterday or 2 days ago. They got overpowered by Nebraska, and I've been telling everyone all along, and a lot of people know this, they're not built the way you need to be built, and they're not strong in the trenches. Like, they have elite offensive talent at certain positions, but they can't run the ball. And then after the game, Shedeur Sanders, and I saw people, this is why you got to watch stuff.
Yeah.
Don't just read headlines, because I saw all these headlines on Saturday. Shedeur Sanders throws his offensive line under the bus. The portion I saw when he was speaking, I mean, it's kind of thinly suggested, but he just talked about the need for a running game. He said the running game keeps defenders off me. That's going to help, because he said, did you see Raiola, get touched a lot, which also could be a shot at his defensive line.
Right.
But I think he's going to get frustrated because – in terms of dealing with adversity, look at the example his dad sets. So I don't think Shedeur is going to handle it that well. I think he's going to act like his dad. And I'm not sure the chemistry of this team is built that they're all going to stick together.
Seems like a severe lack of maturity going on there. Anywhere to the way they talked about former players when they left, to the way that they tweet things, to the things he says during press conferences, to how they act during games even sometimes. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a destined to fail type of thing.
It's a lot of the feel is like the Miami Hurricanes were in the 80s and 90s. But you know what the Miami Hurricanes had? Awesome coaching staff and like 30 NFL players. On they talked trash and celebrated and rubbed it in your face.
Yeah.
No, because they could back it up. They were awesome, and they were awesome on the O-line and the D-line, and they could play power football but also destroy you in the air.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Our Eye on Sports Betting every day is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, just south of Tropicana. Greg, you can keep eating because Greg's chomping down here. I gotta play you some sound that, for Jets fans, this will get you fired up. It's also one of the most laughable things I've ever heard on local radio. This is actually New York local radio. It's a guy named Brandon Tierney. He is a Jets fan like myself. He, the day after Aaron Rodgers goes down on Monday Night Football, he comes in and gives like the speech of the century for fans. He like went full coach. He comes in, he's in studio, he's got a hoodie on with the hood over his face. He's standing up, you can hear him moving the mic. As he keeps going, he's like hyperventilating. Like this, and this is not like, there are people out there who do radio explosions, and I don't want to break it to people. A lot of times it's a bit.
Right.
This is 100% from his soul. And I wanted to play it because it's gonna get up for Monday Night Football. Like, this means something.
He's done. He's done. You got two choices right now. You got two choices. There is the door, and that says losers. Then the door to the right says, we try to piece this together with, I don't know, maybe the most talented wide receiver in football. I don't know. Maybe the most talented running back in football. I don't know. Maybe the most talented quarterback in football. Figure it out.
So he comes in. It's the next day. Aaron Rodgers is done for the season. That's why he was like, he's done. He's done. He's trying to get the troops rallied, right? He's like the best cornerback in Sauce Gardner, best running back in Breece Hall, best receiver, Gary Wilson.
Yeah, I was like, what?
He's a Jets fan.
Okay.
He's just searching for hope. But then his ire turns towards the mopey Jet fans, and he's like, get it together!
Do not tell me today that the season is over. Do not tell me that, because it's not. They already got one win. And I'll tell you, and I'm standing up for this. I will tell you right now, there were about 9 people who said, I'm not giving up on Zach Wilson. And I was one of them, and so was my partner. So it is go time. Get up. Stop walking around work like a loser. Get your act together. We're playing until January. There is no way that I'm tapping out now. No chance.
He's a lunatic.
I need that guy to come into my room every morning and just say
right?
That. I'm going to run through a brick wall for
now,
that guy.
The truth is, the backstory is, I lived with Brandon. He lived out here.
Yeah.
And that speech was like the third best speech I've ever seen him do. Because I've seen a couple where he exploded.
Yeah.
Where it was like, dude.
Yeah.
You got to freaking calm down. One, if I had kids, that's a speech I give my kids about Little League. Let's go.
Yeah. Pop Warner. Of course. Let's do it.
Get up.
In fact, I think my coach did do that when I was like 9 years old in Pop Warner. They were mean.
He's an entertaining guy. It's real. He loves the Jets. But I just love that.
When you live together.
Get up.
Did you guys get in screaming matches when you lived together?
No. I'm not a – there were a couple times – we actually – you know what's funny? We would do shows together, and there's like a zone when you do a show. I really don't remember most of the stuff I say, and if there's arguments,
I don't either.
Like if we argue, after the show, I'm like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple times we did shows together, and like we got pretty heated. And a dude that we bring on from Colorado every once in a while in Denver, Dan Jacobs, Dan was our producer. He's like, man, I remember you and BT one time, and you like threw a glass, like a water bottle across the room at him, and he did, or he threw it at you, and then you just brushed it aside and kept arguing. I'm like, no recollection of that. None.
I like to see you get in an argument, because I haven't seen you, like, I feel like you'd be kind of quiet until you don't have to be kind of arguer.
Yeah. I'll get loud. People have heard it on the air every once in a while.
Well, on the air, I've heard you, you know, get upset off about things. But like at a bar or something, if some guy keeps, you know.
It's not good.
No.
Yeah, I've tried to. Yeah. One of the last times was, and I actually didn't even do anything. We're at Ellis Island, the front yard. One of the last times was right up the way at the bar here, the Raiders bar.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Not good.
I mean, I had a bottle go right across my hair.
Really?
Yeah, it was like this close to just exploding in my forehead. So, but yeah. I actually that was kind of like a quiet chop busting.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, okay, bottle throwing time. Whoop. So imagine me and this guy going out. Finish this up.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable. So as I get ready to get my partner involved here, I have Zach's back. I'm not saying Super Bowl, but I am saying playoffs with Zach. That's what I'm saying.
I came in that day and played the audio, and I was like, dude, I'm not talking to him directly, but I was like,
right,
you got to stop. Like, being excited and getting off the deck when things look bad for you as a fan is one thing, but I knew at the time, I'm like, Zach Wilson sucks.
Well, that's the thing is, if
and I felt so bad that he was excited. Like, I'm sticking with him. I'm like, don't do that to yourself.
If it wasn't Zach Wilson.
Anyone maybe else?
Yeah, right.
See? And for like the first 4 weeks of the after Rodgers was down, I'm like, please go and get someone decent. And then, who was the comeback player of the year last year? Right? We just talked about Mr. Deviant, who can't freaking stay out of trouble. Sean Watson.
Oh,
Joe Flacco comes back. It was great.
Yeah, that's
right. The Jets had him.
Yeah.
And instead they went with Zach Wilson. Call Joe back.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Joe Flacco, though.
Here's the thing. I think it worked because of Stefanski.
It's a lightning in a bottle.
I think Hackett. Ugh.
Oh,
Hackett,
yeah.
I don't think he would have made it work.
Is there any more evidence we need that Hackett is not amazing?
Well, I think, you know what, the evidence, the true evidence will be if Bo Nix needs to take a seat and Sean Payton actually makes Zach Wilson into someone who is productive, then
yeah,
Hackett probably shouldn't work at the pro level ever again. That's harsh, but, like, bro.
Right, yeah.
He made this guy into someone decent. You couldn't – because the surrounding cast is pretty solid.
Well,
offensively, they're not unbelievable. They're good. Breece Hall is a good running back, and they have good receivers now. Mike Williams got to stay healthy. Their defense is good.
He's kind of like, you know, Giannis's little brother, though. Like, he wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean.
Correct.
Yeah.
So. Well, his dad is named Hackett, like most of us. You know, my dad's named Cofield, but he didn't coach in the NFL. His dad, Paul Hackett, was a longtime college and NFL coach. So that's how he got in, as so often is the case, and he's still in because Aaron Rodgers likes him.
I guess.
Well, clearly he does.
Happens where we work, too.
It certainly happens in the world of broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Ticket giveaway right now. 4 tickets. Aces and Connecticut Sun. Game's coming up. Wait a second. I'm retracting this. Griffin, I'm retracting this. We will try this in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm not doing it. I don't know if it's official yet. See what happens? Live radio?
I'd say it anyway.
No. Okay. I'll give you a similar situation. Here's a problem. She couldn't make that speech yesterday because the whole season fell apart. My SO, the significant other, decided to get into a Survivor contest.
Oh.
And she was twisting the story yesterday. During the week, I told her, I said, if the Bengals lose this first game, 3/4 of your contest is going out. I would try someone else. All you need to do is pick a winner. I said, I think Seattle's a good option against Denver. Now, Seattle didn't blow the doors off of Denver, but they won the game.
Right.
And, man, by the way, update. We got the GDAM package.
Oh,
I paid for it.
Oh, how much did you pay?
$379. And I'm in. I got one room with three TVs, very modest TV wall. There's a second room that's got, you know, the biggest TV we have.
Sure.
All morning, Bengals Patriots. She just sat there, like all intense, because of her survivor.
Oh.
And she went out. And that was a free contest. It might have been $10. Circa Survivor, people paid $1,000 to get in. The final tally was like over, I have to look at the number. I have it somewhere here. But the final tally was crazy. I think it was like $14.3 million.
Right.
35% of the field out after week one because of the freaking Bengals losing to the Patriots, who will probably win three games this year. But the Patriots knocked out 35% of the field.
I mean, you still think they're only going to win three after winning that first game?
Steph McKenzie from the point in Circa Survivor picked the Bengals. She texted me last night. She's like, well, that was fun. I'm like, Survivor's tough.
It is tough.
The highs and the lows.
That's a tough one, man. I don't know. In a million years, I would have never guessed that, though. So.
And then let me look down our trusty – we are live right now. Let me look down the camera. Griffin, you look at the camera right now, young man.
I can't see anything.
Greg, you are in Circa Million with us as a team. I've come up with a ranking system. We've got seven participants from Cofield & Company, right?
Okay.
As people lose with their picks, we have to put in five picks against the spread. Everyone on the staff makes a pick, but two are on the outside as alternates. So five go in. When people lose, they move down the rankings and can get relegated to the lower division, which is outside on the picks. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Five of us make picks. So Griffin picked. What was your pick, Griffin? What'd you send over? Circa Million. Hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line. Circa Million. We need five winners. What does Griffin send over?
I dropped the bag, and I said the Browns were going to, I think it was a plus, what was it, minus two? I said they were going to be a lot better than what they were. Shout out to Sean Watson.
Man.
Thanks, Griffin.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
It's a rough start. We will bounce back.
If you ever get in the five that actually get to select, we will. You're right. You'll get a chance. But right now, you are at number seven.
Don't count me out yet. I can make a comeback.
Greg is at number six. We actually went 4-1. It's a good start.
Nice. I didn't pick anybody, though.
You didn't, because I didn't inform you, so you're on the outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell?
Well, you're in.
I got screwed.
You're in. Uh-huh. You're in. Well, we did okay without you.
Yeah, I know. You probably do better without me. I'm just saying.
Everyone's going to get their chance, and then we're all going to share in the money. We got it. By the way, we got to get Justin Watkins in on this real soon about this contest. Got to make sure there's no squabbles afterwards.
For sure.
Greg's like, I picked the most winners. I went 3-0 during the season. I want my money. You're a litigious guy, I can just tell.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. You're not at all. Well, no, actually. Well,
I'm really not.
You've certainly been in the courts. We know that.
Well, no, it wasn't my fault. They're litigious, not me.
I'm on the wrong side of people being litigious. This part of the program, Ryan Sports Gambling, is brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar & Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. True local bar with sports and a rockin' menu, 24/7 breakfast. The menu is varied. You can get a New York strip for under $25, French dip, Reuben, plus Monday Night Football with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. And they got a special for dinner each night. We got it updated. This is the way we roll, man. Their dinner special tonight, chicken and shrimp kebabs with pork ribs and rice.
Oh.
Hello. You can follow them on IG at Oasis Bar and Grill. Oasis.
Get the nachos.
On Decatur, south of Trop.